3 days from now, Joseph Goebbels is throwing a gala premiere of one of his new movies in Paris.
What film, sir?
The motion picture's called Nation's Pride. In attendance at this joyous, Germanic occasion will be Goebbels, Goering, Bormann, and most of the German high command, including all high-ranking officers of both the SS and the Gestapo, as well as luminaries of the Nazi propaganda film industry.
The master race of play, eh?
Basically, we have all our rotten eggs in one basket. The objective of Operation Kino? Blow up the basket.
And like the snows of yesteryear, gone from this earth. Jolly good, sir.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is White.
I mean, I would ask you guys if you remember how to do a podcast, because it's been about a month. But given from that intro, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think so too. All
right. It's been a month, guys. How have we not talked for a month?
It's been crazy.
2 weeks was your fault.
Yes, it was.
And then last week was the rain.
I have to tell you, I'm quite upset because we did not. So we have missed 3 weeks of podcast. Mm-hmm. We actually have 2 movies to talk about because each of the first 2 weeks we decided we needed to pick a new movie.
Right.
I'm upset that Damien or Andrew, whoever it was,
probably me,
did not pick a movie this week. Mm-mm. So I can now officially, or I cannot officially call this the Unnamed Russian Doll Movie Podcast, or Turd PC.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Actually thinking for a hot second to see if that all worked out with the letters based on what you said.
Does.
It took me a little while.
He put thought into this. Depressing.
Do you think did he write it down? Is it written down in front of him?
Hold on, I need to throw it away.
That wasn't that type of thing. When Amzo strikes, Douglas is like, yeah, this is fun. I'll use this.
So yeah, we had a few weeks off. Yes. Partially because of Future Movie Festival, which I will talk about later and you guys will do whatever. but I'd like to start out the podcast by talking about the Andrew Bird fan club. Right? And how we missed Douglas at the meeting last night. Douglas, where were you? Did he hang up?
He's just literally not talking to you. I can hear what he's saying through telepathy. It's not pretty. It's real bad. Douglas, she's also your mother.
And Brittany Howard missed you too, by the way, while we're at it.
You see, I held my tongue, right? He did this, what he did, right?
Digging.
He kept digging, yeah. Right? And he sent a picture of the Brittany Howard marquee.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who don't know who that is, she is the, I guess you could call her lead singer or lead of a couple of bands. The biggest one being, what's the name of that one, Andrew?
Alabama Shakes.
Thanks, Alabama Shakes. And the other one being, is it Bitch or Pussy something? A foul mouth name. I can't remember. But there are 2 brands and they sound similar because she's the driving force behind both of them. And they are amazing. And she now has her own solo album, which I need to buy. And I got very upset and I said nothing. I kept my mouth shut. I said, you know what? Andrew, you have this. You take this. Literally the next fucking day, he sends me a picture of the Andrew Bird marquee And I still say, you know what? It's fine. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I can handle this. Then while I'm on Twitter, I see fucking Shane fucking McNeil say something about Andrew Bird, and I couldn't do it anymore. So there's a Twitter back and forth between the three of us on this thing.
When Shane showed me your response, we were dying with laughter. I didn't know he was tweeting things about the show.
You're saying,
and that's when I knew. That's when I knew I had to jump on and just give a hi. Yes. Right, how you doing?
I was like, these motherfuckers.
Yep.
Getting to listen to whistles, and I'm down here just watching NFL. God damn it.
I mean, you could go.
Yeah, I could.
Yeah. Yeah. You should.
I should.
It sucks. So my sister came home.
Yeah.
She's gone. She's here for 4 days. Regaled us with walking through 6 feet of snow and some shit. I was just like, you know, you can come home. Like, when it's like that, you could just come home. You have to stay there with Andrew suffering in the tundra.
No, that is Green Bay.
One of her friends came as well, and I made the Canada beaches joke. I say, you know, if you Google Canada beach, Google returns no results. I didn't realize she was from Canada because of her pigment. I just assumed she was from a foreign country like everyone else. And she got real upset. Like, not kind of upset. Like, actual upset. Mm-hmm. Defending Canada's beaches. And I knew better, but didn't do any better. I just doubled down.
Pretty sure.
Your sister didn't tap you and say, please, no?
My sister was busy laughing. Especially when I said, oh, no, wait, I found one picture of Canada Beach. And what I actually searched was Niagara Falls frozen, and then showed her the picture. And she walked away. I'm a good person.
Anyways.
I'm Rick Dalton. It's my pleasure, Mr. Schwartz.
Call me Marvin. Put it there. That your son?
No, it's my stunt double, Cliff Booth.
Last night, we watched a Rick Dalton double feature. All the shooting. I love that stuff, you know, the killing.
A lot of killing.
Anybody order fried sauerkraut?
A long, long time ago,
yes,
we said we would talk about the Tarantino film of 2019, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is Tarantino's recollection of the end of the 60s in Los Angeles in Hollywood television, as he follows the famed actor, a made-up guy, of Rick Dalton at the end of his career, along with his best friend, stuntman Cliff Booth, all overshadowed by the 1960s Sharon Tate murders. Murders, as if she got murdered more than once. And the Manson and everything else going on with Hollywood at the time. Everything that Tarantino loves. Movies, debauchery, smoking at bars, and ridiculous over-the-top dressing. And a great soundtrack. Damien...
Yes.
You, sir, love Quentin Tarantino. He made westerns you love.
I do.
You love more than you hate him. Let's put it that way. Yes. Right?
There's like two things that I kind of don't like. And then
everything else is up there.
Yeah.
Where does Hollywood fall for you?
This is the worst thing Quentin Tarantino has ever made. I do not like this movie. At all. The movie As it says, as Andrew was describing, DiCaprio plays Rick Dalton. He's the star of Bounty Law, which such a good name. And that is where all the good... No, sorry, there's a scene with a dog.
Best dog of 2019.
Right. And then everything that is not that is bad. I have heard for years people complain about Tarantino being self-indulgent and his stories not making sense and plots being hard to follow and so on and so on. And for most of that time, I've looked at the people and gone, you people are bad at movies. And watching this movie is the thing I feared would happen with Chris Nolan at some point, where I'd go and watch one of his movies and be confused as to what is happening in front of me. Nothing, the story doesn't work. The actors are good, but the acting, it's actors playing bad actors, playing bad actors. And it, the movie, no part of this movie is enjoyable. Let's put it that way. It mercifully isn't as long as I thought the movie was going to be. And of course, it never helps watching anything at Carib. But I said it to Douglas earlier. When this movie ended, I've never seen people flee Carib faster than... Like, no one wanted to stay. And like, the second the credits hit, Carib was empty. And I understand. Because Douglas actually had walkouts during intermission.
I felt like Tiff again.
Which is surprising.
I was able to start counting because there were that many people. How many walked out of the movie?
When he said it, I'm like, my set must have been like pretty determined then, because no one actually left. And in fairness, if I had left halfway through this movie, would I have really missed anything? Not for the directing talent, for the acting talent that is involved with this movie, it shouldn't be this bad. It feels amateurish in at points, and it is confusing kind of for no reason.
In terms of what though? Because so I don't have very many positive things to say about this movie, but I will give it this. If you assume that some crazy person wrote this script and just handed it to Tarantino, I don't know that he did a bad job in putting this shitty script on the screen.
Most of what it's mostly the dialogue that that part feels bad. Yeah. I didn't know. Did he not write this?
I assume he did, but I'm just saying that because you make it sound like it sounded like it was beyond the story or beyond the script. You made it sound like the actual direction, the actual acting, the actual like everything else.
It shouldn't be that I come to a Tarantino movie and feel like this. Like, I don't expect this. And I am overly harsh because I was really excited for this movie because it said we were excited when it was Tarantino's 8th film. Before it had a name, when they were just announcing people, you were just like, fucking yeah, Tarantino.
So Damien, the funny thing is, this whole time for me, it has been just Tarantino's 8th film. I didn't really know what it was about. I kind of knew, you heard people talk about the Manson things. Actually, I didn't know that until my brother told me the day before I was going to watch it. I knew it was about something to do with in the 60s or whatever. Mm-hmm. And pretty much the only thing visually I had seen about this movie before going to it was some sort of meme with DiCaprio doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was hilarious. He did this weird 60s dance, with like, this over-the-top face that
I'd seen the trailer, but was still excited because Quentin Tarantino, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Brad Pitt made a goddamn movie. And what the result of that is is so disappointing that it's probably for the best that we didn't do the podcast like in that week.
Can you imagine how much fire we'd
be? And I'm just coming here and gone, listen to me, man.
Because at this stage, when I look back, all I really can think of, and I said this to you before, mm-hmm. all I can really remember with any sort of detail is the dog.
Yes.
Carib.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. And that it was bad.
Yeah.
Those are the three points that I can recall I wanted to talk about. And the thing about this movie is, in small bits, there is value. There are some good things about it. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed Leonardo DiCaprio pretending to be pretending, right? Him acting on that Western movie with the child. I remember thinking, oh, this is fun. And
oh, I love that scene.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great scene. And actually, it's such a long scene that when they went cut, I was like, oh, wait, that's right. This isn't the movie.
Yeah. Love that so much.
Right. That actually speaks to part of the problem.
Oh, of course it does.
Where
this movie is extremely disjointed. There's no cohesion at all.
And it, like, that is part where I felt like Tarantino was just like, I think this movie is bad. Let me distract them with these things.
And things like, you know, I really liked, all right, so from a character perspective, I like DiCaprio, mm-hmm. what he does and his character. I would say the same thing for Brad Pitt. I like what he does and I like the character. I also like those two together, their interplay. I love Brad Pitt. I have to tell you, Brad Pitt, like, talking to his dog and commanding him to do certain things and seeing what clearly must have been some crazy training behind it is awesome. But also watching Brad Pitt interact with Leonardo DiCaprio, where you can kind of see that DiCaprio, either he is trying to pretend like he's not in whatever situation he is, or he is in fact deluding himself, actually deluded as to what's going on. And I guess not necessarily the power dynamic, but I guess who he is and all of that. Just the looks on Brad Pitt's face, mm-hmm. as DiCaprio does something and you can see he's like, ah, this guy. And DiCaprio says something and he's like, listen, all right, hold on. Mm. You realize I'm like your gopher, right? I'm your driver. I do these things for you. We're not friends. And mm-hmm. You called me a stuntman. That's nice. I haven't been a stuntman for like years. That whole dynamic, it's... I really like Brad Pitt in this movie.
All right.
This movie is bad, though.
Oh, all right.
No. I'm not... I'm trying hard to grasp at straws. And but this I'm movie is
no longer
bad.
Trying. That is... Like, I am known... I have come to accept that... I am not going to give a movie credit for great actors being great.
Yeah,
that's why you pay them. You put them in the movie to do exactly that. It is everything around that you're just like, what the fuck am
I? And Douglas, the saddest
halfway
thing,
let me through, you, I was just like, I'm done
course,
with this
me
movie.
Too. But the saddest thing about this movie is that he pulled an Inglourious Basterds, and the way he pulled it was so good. But at the end of the movie, when you watch it, you think to yourself, fuck that shit. You just don't care. It's the culmination of 5 hours of a really bad movie. It's sad. And I need to watch it again on my big screen so that hopefully I like it, because I cannot. I already don't like one Quentin Tarantino movie. And by don't like, I mean fucking hate. Jackie Brown is the worst movie he's ever made. Except that I think
go
this might be...
Go fuck yourself.
No, except to be fair to you, Andrew, I think this might be worse.
Go fuck yourself again, because I'm back. You guys have said your words.
Flower Child?
You guys have all said your words.
But Flower Child,
it's no time for Quentin Tarantino to speak to that. What about Flower Child? Right. Quentin Tarantino is a goddamn master. This movie is perfection. I love everything about this movie. The one defense, the one thing I'll give you guys credit for is I've actually watched this movie. I've watched this movie twice, and I wasn't too certain about the ending the first time I saw it. I'm certain about it now. So I'll give you that. I allow you to have doubts, and you need to watch it again.
I mean, there's
so I look forward to your comments next year when you drunkenly watch it again.
Oh, when I have to come here and apologize.
Yes, I look forward to the apology.
Okay. Listen, the only thing I'll apologize
shut
for
the fuck up.
Is not saying it was is not it's saying Tarantino it was in 4K time. Because I watched it in Caribbean. I'll come here and I'll say I apologize for saying that the video quality was poor. It was actually good. This movie is still trash. I'm out.
So okay, this movie. Mm-hmm. Is goddamn amazing, right? And it takes all of Tarantino's best qualities. And also, like, one thing I will say, and I agree with this wholeheartedly, and I feel like this statement is true. I feel like this statement is true with every release of a Quentin Tarantino film. This is the most indulgent Quentin Tarantino has ever fucking been in a movie. When he comes out and says, you know, I have a 5-hour version of this movie that I might put on Netflix. Believe him. I believe him when I see scenes where you have Damian Lewis as Steve McQueen, right? For like a hot 3 seconds, who, by the way, is my favorite throwaway, like, here is another famous person. In the real famous person in this movie scene. For some reason, that Damian Lewis, who is the guy from...
Whoa. The guy from Andrew Robinson. Don't you dare disrespect Steve McQueen. He has a name.
Damian Lewis?
Is Steve McQueen in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, you were going to... Okay, all right, fair enough.
What is happening?
I got very confused.
So I thought you were going to describe his character. So I thought you were going to say something like, you know, the guy from The Great Escape. I now realize you were going to say something like the guy from Billions.
Yes.
You may continue.
You know what? I think my previous statement stands. Shut the fuck up.
I'm making a good case for yourself.
So yeah, this movie is littered with just movie nerddom, right? And I mean, we know this from Tarantino. Like he even found ways to leak that shit into a Nazi movie, into a World War II movie, where he made movies about people who make the girl be the runner of a movie theater, so he could just talk about movies for like a good 20 minutes in that film. Right, and have the Nazi be an actor in a movie. He does his shit all the while. And finally, he made a movie where literally every character in it just has to do with movies. And it's just him just bullshitting around shit. But at the same time, that's 90% of what he does best. Where he makes fascinating characters and puts them in scenarios where they might not connect to a story that made sense throughout the whole way. But each scenario themselves is just a fascinating microcosm of a movie. Like watching Brad Pitt's Cliff Booth go to the ranch where all of these hippies are and go and visit Bruce Dern is a great microcosm scene. Everything that happens in that scene is goddamn fantastic, and I adore it from end to end. Watching Brad Pitt go on the set of that cowboy show, which I've forgotten the name of it, that had Timothy Oliphant in it, and top points for having Timothy Oliphant play a TV cowboy man again. I'll always love you for that. Where we go in and out of the TV show that looks like the final product and the TV show in filming. And everything about that I love, even the scenes that he has with the little girl, right? I love everything about that. I love even more the whole looming presence of spaghetti westerns. And Damien, you more than anyone else knows what spaghetti westerns means to filmmaking, right? You know what it means to actors, where it made people like Clint Eastwood, but it also was the end for a lot of actors in Hollywood, right? And I just love how all these things are connected. And there are a lot of other issues with this movie that people have discussed, that I have feelings on. But one of the things I want to say about this movie that I found the most fascinating, because it hinges on Manson and the death of Sharon Tate, which, I mean, this isn't a shock to anyone listening to this podcast, more specifically Damien. I barely knew anything about Sharon Tate. I knew about the Manson shit craziness, but I didn't really know much about Sharon Tate specifically. So I found it fascinating to be in a world of movies that Quentin Tarantino makes, where he just picks and chooses his history and kind of plays around with people and says, oh, this is a fictitious version of Bruce Lee. We don't have to think this is real Bruce Lee I'm making, because the Bruce Lee we see in this movie is pretty much fan fiction Bruce Lee. And I'm okay with thinking of this as fan fiction Bruce Lee. But it's fascinating to me to see how much care and almost tenderness, I'd say, he takes to Sharon Tate, who is the victim of this story, where she almost has no lines of dialogue, because the way I view it is, why would you put any words in the mouth of this woman, where we already have these horrible feelings, not feelings, these horrible memories around her. Everything about her just feels magical in the Quentin Tarantino magic way. Like, it's almost the same way that we would talk about the scene, the dance scene in that, the small dance scene she has in this movie kind of mirrors to me the twisting dance scene of Pulp Fiction with Uma Thurman, where they're just like, in that moment, everything just looks magical and happy and beautiful. And even how this movie ends, which is very much in the same way of Inglourious Basterds, where he just makes up his own version of the ending of this story for his own reasons, which I adore, which is just him wanting to imagine that the 60s continues forever because he's in love with that era of filmmaking. I truly love this movie. The one part of this movie that I had the hardest time with was the big finale ending of this film, and specifically in a topic that I find Tarantino is always playing with, which is violence. People have always come down on Tarantino films as being brutally violent, and I have generally never left a Tarantino film feeling just ragged by violence in it, because usually the way he uses violence in movies, from Kill Bill to Pulp Fiction to Reservoir Dogs, like, it's always in a cartoonish action way, in that you never feel completely brutalized by any specific piece of violence. It's just generic, right? And he might be overly violent than most movies, but it never feels targeted at anybody. This movie, I don't know what it was about it, but it felt overly harsh, the violence. And I actually, like, for the first time watching a Tarantino movie, I actually felt like this feels harsh. Like, I feel like how the scene played its own comedy to action felt good, but whenever, like, it leaned into the violence super hard, it felt like it just lingered, like, a little too much. And it was just a little too brutal for this movie, I feel. But still, I love this fucking movie. And yeah, that's Notes from a Tarantino Fan for you.
No, he adjusted the mic.
Oh.
And unruffled his feathers.
Oh, wait. I see GIFs have been sent.
Yes.
Say hello to my chocolate friend. Oh, my God.
Yep. So I was actually looking for a GIF talking about how either this movie was bad or Tarantino was bad, and somehow that came up. Mm-hmm. And
that's pretty
good. I was dying. So I had to say,
I've never seen that before.
People have been making fun of Al Pacino for that goddamn ad for life.
To my chocolate friend.
I don't know what ad that is. What is that?
It's an ad he did for Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, wow.
Like, if you go to YouTube and search Al Pacino Dunkin' Donuts, you'll find that fucking ad. And it is hilariously bad.
I'm sure that will get me on some kind of list I'm going to pass.
But yes, I've laid it out there. I told you guys like around 8 weeks ago that we would talk about Tarantino.
Yes.
Yeah. I really, as I said,
I wish I saw the movie you saw.
Exactly. I wish I saw that movie. I really would like to like this movie. And I will give it a chance because it's Tarantino. And I will also blindly actually really give it a chance because when I was young, and I was watching his movies.
I was a young warthog.
When I was a young warthog. His first few movies, I never liked the first time. Mm-hmm. So I watched Reservoir Dogs, hated it.
Okay.
I watched Pulp Fiction, hated it.
Right.
I watched
Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown hated it. Mm-hmm. That one, I actually hated.
It's because it's not good.
It's not good. But
Go fuck yourself.
It's on Death Proof.
Go fuck yourself again.
I like Death Proof a lot. But
you want to name one more so I can get the trifecta? The hat trick?
Yeah. Once upon a time in Hollywood.
Go fuck yourself.
What are you talking about?
But
This movie is Tump approved.
I will try and watch this again.
Douglas.
This movie, oh my God, Douglas, so bad.
At least you are coming from a point of dislike, right? I've only ever liked Tarantino movies.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that I don't like, if you compare it to standard movies, I'd go, it's not a terrible movie. Jackie Brown isn't a bad movie, but I don't come to Tarantino for okay. That's not what I'm here for. Fuck that shit.
We're not here for foot fetishes.
Exactly. Yeah,
I mean, this movie has a lot of foot fetishes. More than I feel the average QT film has.
Kill Bill was basically the Fast and Furious movies. It's this big, stupid action, and that is right up my alley. Then he made Inglourious Basterds, and I went, all right. He's better than... I thought Kill Bill was just a fun thing, but he was eventually going to go back to movies like Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs, and then he pivoted. He did Inglourious Basterds. I was like, all right. Clearly, Tarantino mm-hmm. is my boy.
And then Django.
Then he made the Django, and I fucking lost my mind. I was like, all right, dog. Me and Tarantino forever. By the time he got to Hateful Eight, my Tarantino Bono was so strong.
Speaking of which, have you watched the extended version yet?
Yes.
Should I continue watching it? I've only watched the first episode. All right, cool.
Yeah. It is more of what you want.
Yeah.
Like, Hateful Eight from the soundtrack on, like, it is very rare for me.
I think already he's doing for more of his movies. He's doing another one or two.
It's very rare for me to like movie soundtracks because 10 times out of 10.
He does very well with his soundtracks.
I give a shit.
Yeah, his soundtracks are good.
The Hateful Eight one was so good, I had to buy it. I mean,
you
usually
buy
that shit.
Vinyl is the question.
I still can.
No, because I'm not a fucking hippie.
Yeah, that's why you don't like this movie. You're not a fucking hippie.
Because I don't like vinyl. I'm not a goddamn.
You don't like hippies.
Hippie.
That's why you don't like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Douglas,
you anti-hippie
person. Anything that he had. If I had never seen a trailer, if someone just tapped me on the shoulder one day, it's like, Damon, it's go time. I say, what's happening? They're like, Tarantino. I just run to the theater. Like, I don't need any preamble, anything.
I'm like that as well.
Right. And then went into this movie. Halfway through, I was just like, I don't think this movie is good. And when the movie ended, I'm like, I know I'm sure this movie is not good. And to come here and have Andrew tell me that I'm wrong is expected. But Andrew hasn't laid out anything that is even remotely making me change my mind. I was just like, yeah, this movie's trash. I expect better. Tarantino's trash is better than, let's say, 80% of all movies.
Mm-hmm.
But again...
No, man, this one is pretty bad.
I didn't leave my house to see this.
No, but I don't even know that I would say this is better than a bad movie. This is a bad movie. It got to the stage where just simple things like having Kurt Russell and Zoe Bell show up were the highlights of this movie.
I'm just saying it because they existed. I'm saying it's better than those movies out of respect for the gentleman.
All right.
When I watch this movie again, my biggest fear is that I will see for real that this movie is no bueno. Right? This is like I don't like Death Proof, and I do not like Jackie Brown, and I would watch both those movies before watching this movie, because this movie is not good. Like, at all.
Yeah, but, I feel like I'd watch Jackie Brown before this.
But, we'll see. Yeah,
one thing I'll say about this movie, to add on a couple more addendums, alright? Number one, I feel the opening is a little off, and specifically in the way they introduce Rick Dalton as the TV cowboy man. Like, they kind of do it a lot. Like, they have the Bounty Law clip. They have going through his film career with the Nazi movie where you see the flamethrower, you see that shit in the trailer. You see, like, the dancing thing Douglas is laughing about. And I feel like it takes a long time where he could have kind of moved on and just been, like, TV actor kind of thing. And at the same time, it's strange because I can see that Tarantino kind of wanted this movie to take its time. Like, there's a lot of this movie where he just lets actors breathe. Like, there's literally a whole thing, and you talk about where Brad Pitt is on the roof and he's just sitting there smoking a cigarette as he's pondering on how he lost his career, and it stays on him like uncomfortably longer than any other movie would have before it actually gets to the point of this is a story of how my career went bad, right? And I feel like the movie got me there in allowing it to take its time, but I also think that's part of a thing in why you guys might not like this movie as much. I don't know.
Damian.
Hi.
Andrew's turned into a hippie.
I've been listening to Andrew's nonsense, crazy ramblings about this movie, and
the next thing he's going to tell us is that Terry Malick has made a good movie or something.
I'm just glad that he hasn't started talking about the visuals and sound design and costuming.
the costumes that he chooses in the cowboy show.
Like
when he has the mustache and the hippie beard.
He's going to start like literally listing off like Academy Award shit. And that is where, but and that's not
Academy Award nominated Leonardo DiCaprio. Like,
it is the sum of
didn't
the
he win? I think he
bullshit.
Won something. no, but it is but Damien, Art, I have a sincere question, Damien.
Yes.
If you were to chop up this movie into just scenes,
mm-hmm.
and we did like the math,
yeah,
right, kind of like how you like to do with people when they tell you action movies are bad that you like,
right
are do you feel there are a number of scenes you liked, or is it just all across the board negative?
No, there's scenes that are well done, but I like this is a movie where I couldn't come up with a Damien's cut. Like, there's no DC from... I can't come up with a way to fix this movie. I just don't know how to. Because I'm not
there's
really
there
certain...
Really, there really isn't a movie in this
yeah,
movie.
Exactly.
Right?
I'm
so
not
what
really
you
certain
can do
what
is
happening. Is
you can cut one scene, watch that one scene and say, that's a good scene.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take a break, you drink a glass of water, mm-hmm. you watch another scene, and you say, that's a good scene. And you take a break. And maybe there are four of those.
Remember R100, where they literally... guys walk out to the theater and take smoke breaks.
Yeah.
If they did that in between like the TV shows they were making, maybe.
Actually.
But
Damien, hold on.
We need a ninja girl.
We're onto something.
To
wait a
people
second.
In their face.
What if
mm-hmm.
you get some of the scenes in this movie, like for example the Western scene where he throws a girl down mm-hmm. And then after that scene, instead of trying to make it work as a movie, mm-hmm. you then cut in the cigarette break from
R100.
And then you go back to one of the other scenes.
I mean, that could work. And it would make as much sense.
Yeah, exactly. So you, when you watch it, you know, it's really just a bunch of scenes.
Vignettes,
yeah. Exactly. It's mm-hmm. like Buster Scruggs, yeah. pretty much.
All right.
That might work.
It might. I'll try.
Yeah, yeah,
when
yeah.
it comes out, I'll
let's,
try.
Let's do this.
I'll bust a scrug in it.
Well, you've heard it here, guys. Once mm-hmm. upon a time in Hollywood is Tump approved.
Yep.
Yep, the Buster Scruggs version.
The Buster Scruggs version. Definitely Tump approved. So, as I've been unemployed for a while, and so I've had way too much time.
Wait, before we go there, we have another movie to talk
Are
about.
We doing
Greeks? No. What I'm talking about one thing okay, specifically.
All right, cool.
I was going through and like making playlists because I have all this music, but unlike Douglas, where Douglas dumps all his music and then prays that he doesn't get skits and bullshit, I actually spend the time to curate my playlist. They're big and long, but they usually fall into specific genres. I was looking for a song called Guilty. But that is not the part of the song that everyone knows it for. There's a part where they say, highway to the sky, don't want to hear your goodbye. That is the part that is famous. But the name of the song is Guilty.
I was already told not to do it anymore. Yeah. So stop talking about Andrew Bird music.
No, what I'm here to tell all musicians, now and forever, whatever the key part of the hook to your song is the name of your song. I do not want to spend time Googling lyrics.
Hold on.
In order to find the name of your song.
Damien.
Hi.
1 second.
Yes.
Andrew Robinson.
Yes.
5 guesses as to who. And don't fucking search this.
Mm-hmm.
Who this song is sung.
I have no idea. Yep. No idea whatsoever.
This song is a Bee Gees song.
Yep.
He's talking about.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. What? Damien.
Hi.
Say that lyric for me again, Damien.
Highway to the sky. All you have to do actually is search Highway to the Sky and Google automatically extends it to Highway to the Sky song because apparently that's what people search for it as. They don't search for it as Guilty.
Yeah.
It's like Highway to the sky song, Guilty.
And then it comes out as Guilty.
The first result from Google is Barbara Streisand, Guilty lyrics. Yes.
So is it Bee Gees and Barbara Streisand? Because you know that they did a thing together.
Right.
Okay.
So, It is credited as a Barbara Streisand song, but doesn't matter.
For some reason, my thing came up as Bee Gees.
It's fine.
But
the problem is that I know I have the song and I'm looking for the song at my house. Knowing that the song is there, but scrolling past it 19,000 times because I don't know the song, the name of the song that I'm looking for. It's Highway to the Sky.
Yeah.
The name of the song, unfortunately, is Guilty. They say Guilty in the song, of course. That is not even... That is the setup to the high part of the song.
So what you're saying is that this is the first world equivalent of a song, like, say, a rhyme by War 21.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want it to be as clear as... I don't want to be sure. If I have to look up lyrics to find back a song that I love, you fucked up. Right? Prince doesn't do this.
You sure about that?
All right. Never mind.
Prince does other things.
All right. Never mind. All the Prince songs that I wanted to listen to, the title matches the thing in my head. So, yes, I'd like all musicians. Andrew, tell your friends. Stop it. No more cutesy names for your songs. Whatever the hook is, that is the name that the song is. I'm sick and tired of this. Rap people do it a lot. But it's rap music. Who gives a shit? Right. Now we have a second movie to talk about.
Yes, we do. The Horseman.
Douglas, you picked this.
I picked Chevalier. Yes. Yes, I did.
Please explain.
What's this movie about, Douglas?
What's this movie about?
No, we don't have that much time. Oh, just explain.
This movie is a Greek movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is about a group of friends,
right,
who are on holiday. Okay. They have chartered a yacht. Oh, where do I like?
God, I love English.
And they clearly, you know, just swimming, riding jet skis, spear fishing and that kind of thing isn't quite enough for them. So one night they get bored enough that they decide they need to figure out a new game, a new competition to play amongst themselves. And they come up with this thing that they call Chevalier, because it's actually based on another game that somebody played called Chevalier, where they compete to see who is the best person in general. And I think that's probably more of a weird translation, you know, because it sounds like, you know, when I say that, we're talking about, ooh, who is the best morally upstanding? No. They have devised this game where they have to do certain activities. They look at each other, how they sleep, how they eat, whether, you know, they have a spare tire or whether they are physically fit. And they have some sort of a point system where at the end of the day, after all of, they have specific tests, but they have just general spot checks, I guess. At one stage, there's a doctor in the group of friends. And at one stage, that doctor took samples so that they could figure out who is the healthiest. And after allocating as many points as they can allocate, they come up with a winner who is deemed the best of this group of friends. Now, I said this to Damien before we started the podcast. I try not to make broad, sweeping assumptions. I try not to be, as the youngsters might call it, racist or xenophobic, mm-hmm, or, you know, prejudiced.
Right.
We try. But when you goddamn Greeks make it so hard.
Can you try a little harder?
I'll tell you, man.
Can you try a little harder, Douglas?
Boy.
Just a touch before you say what's coming next.
Just a tad. But it's weird, right? It's, and you actually see. So I have not watched a lot of Greek film or Greek cinema. But I have watched pretty much, I think, all of Yorgos Lanthimos's movies.
Unfortunately.
Except for one that he got real right. They've been, oh boy.
Did he get it right, though?
He got something right with The Favorite. I don't know what to tell you, Damon. I love that movie. And I think we all love that movie.
God damn it.
Except for that one. All his other movies are actually just like this movie.
Yes.
Because what they share is the spark, right? You hear, or maybe I'm just a dark, crazy person, but you hear that setup, this situation that's created where a small group of people are in one place where they can't really move around a lot. They kind of have to interact with each other. They create this crazy game of who is the best person. And if you just create that setup and say, okay, let's go. Where are we going to go with this? I immediately think of other filmmakers and what they would do with this. What would Lars do with this, Damien?
It'd be too good.
What would McDonough do with this, Damien?
Oh my God.
Either of them, whether it's cousin one or cousin two.
What would Taika do?
What would Taika do? I mean, I could actually even see a version of this movie, which maybe I could like, that Jason Bateman is in. You know, like that kind of broad comedy as well. Mm-hmm. But there are so many ways to make this movie, and in my mind's eye, so many ways to make this movie fucking fantastic. That I saw this trailer and I said, okay, I'm ready for something. Then you watch the movie
Unfortunately.
And it just does not, it doesn't follow through, right? You get these long, drawn out scenes, these just crazy, almost emotionless, portrayals of this thing where maybe you can try again, like how I was talking about QT's movie.
Right.
Maybe you can try and pick out something, but even with this, there's even less that I can pick out because it's with the QT movie, I can pick out whole scenes, whole swaths of the movie that I'm like, all right, I can live with this. But with a movie like this and a movie like Yorgos's movies, you kind of say, oh, you know what? The way his facial expression when he said that, or the way that they conceptualized what this guy would do here. Those are the kind of things that as you're watching the movie, you're like, all right, there's that. But this movie becomes, as I said, an emotionless and just almost boring version of this amazing thing that you've put in your mind. And I don't know what to do with Greece. They blew up the world economy in 2008. And now they're giving us just god-awful movies.
Are these movies austerity? They don't have enough to complete a proper movie. So the country goes, so the movie goes.
You know what it is? Here's what happened, right? They accepted that it was their fault.
Yeah.
They started the chain, the dominoes. Mm-hmm. And so they know they can't portray them being happy.
Right.
Right? They can't be like, all right, we screwed up the world.
Right.
They can't see us being happy.
Right.
Let's just be sad all the time.
Mm-hmm. And let's make our movies extra weird.
Yeah. Just so that nobody says, look at those fuckers laughing at what they did.
Andrew, can we change the name of this podcast to Movie Austerity?
No. I've already had the logo made. Can't.
I mean, we can't keep the logo. It won't make any sense, but nothing about this podcast makes sense.
You can just put it in Microsoft Paint and type across it as austerity.
Top austerity.
Oh, Lord.
Douglas, I applaud your efforts to talk around just how terrible this movie is.
This movie is bad.
The setup could have been good. The problem is the rest of this movie is at one point I was someone said something, and because there are subtitles, because I'm not fluent in Greek, unfortunately.
What?
Unfortunately. I skipped classes, all right? Leave me alone. I didn't think they were going to be around. I thought they'd collapse. Anyways. There's a point where there's something, someone said something, and when you read it, in my head, I'm just like, is that supposed to be a joke? Because that's something I'd say because I'm a monster, mm-hmm. and he said it, but are these jokes? Is there a language barrier here? Should I be watching this as more of a comedy? But then you watch more of it, and you quickly realize nothing on earth could see this.
I think this is kind of supposed to be a comedy.
It's
but
bad,
it
though.
It's supposed to be a comedy.
It doesn't work as well.
There are no jokes.
I will give it this. I did enjoy. I enjoyed the sing along and the dance.
All right.
With the flares, and I also really enjoyed right after when everybody's like, "Oh, that was great," and the doctor, who is clearly the rich man of the group. And the authority figure of the group, just kind of say to the brother who was hanging around the flares, fuck you. Don't do that again. That was dangerous. You lose points.
Mm-hmm.
This movie's worse than the Tarantino movie.
Look, look, I have the only important question to ask.
By like how we is.
I have the only important, because I think we all agree this movie's god awful. But I have the only really important piece of conversation to have about this movie, which is, who would win if we were playing this game?
You would win. I guess, yeah, because he has some...
He has
some
friends.
The only way you'd lose, if we're playing against each other.
Exactly. The only way you'd lose is if me and Douglas have anything to do with the rules. Then there's no way you're winning. Because we'd make sure that the rules punish you for all the things that you're good at, which is being nice. There'd be no points for being nice, in which case you'd lose horrifically.
The way I read this game, the way they told it, is that everything is subjective. Everything is based on how you view it. So it doesn't have to be that, oh, Andrew's nice, so I give him points. You could just decide to be an asshole and give me no points.
Right. But we'd have to have standard rules. Or the points won't make any sense. All right. We'd have to be, all right, listen, we do height, weight, like the standard measurables, right? And then we'd start after this, the measurables, like we do it like the NFL combine, do all of that shit first. And then we'd go the intangibles, do you speak multiple languages? Andrew doesn't speak one, so he'd lose. He's barely fluent in English. And there we go. But if we're using just general life things, right now you have a girlfriend, so that's plus like 1,000. But like me and Douglas couldn't compete because we're terrible people. Like, we're truly, truly bad people. But that's fine. That's why I won't win, because I don't care enough to fix. There's a lot of things on me that I'd fix if I cared. But I don't care. Not really. I told you the story about my sister's friend that came here. Could have been nice. And we're outside. We're at Devon House. We're being nice. Nah. Devon House has the waffle cones. They have the chocolate ones, though. They're tremendous. Okay. I really like them. Mm-hmm. It's clearly going to kill me, but it's really good. Chocolate waffle cones are really... They make a significant difference to eating ice cream. I like it. Did we watch any more movies? Fuck this movie.
I mean, now we get into the freeform
people.
Now we get into freeform space.
All right.
So Andrew, I have regale a few us with things.
Future movies.
I have a few things to talk about. Yes. But before I get to future movies, I want to let you guys know that I've discovered something that's the most upsetting thing in life to discover, which is it's not going to see a comedian that you have no respect for realizing that he's really bad, but seeing a comedian you have respect for and not liking his show.
Aha. You did not like John Mulaney, did you?
He did not do well.
Oh, wow.
He tried. The sad part about it is my favorite part of that show was when it ended, and I feel like he ended it like a couple minutes early because he's like, all right, I fucked up well and proper. And he got Pete Davidson to come out, and they mocked each other for like 5 minutes, which was the best part.
Right.
And then they like took questions from people, which I didn't care about. Right. But
why would you ask a comedian, why are you so bad? What's it like?
Actually, I would straight up ask him, why did you decide to bring Pete Davidson?
What's it like pretending to be normal when you sell out stadiums? How do you keep telling jokes when you're like a cajillionaire?
So yeah, John Mulaney did not enjoy that show. I liked Marc Maron. That show was good.
Yeah, because I'm miserable fuck.
Yep. He's been that for 15 years now?
Yep.
Just that.
Just so anyways. Extra
miserable. Is it just an episode of his podcast? Just stretched out?
The beginning part where he's just talking to you and there's no other person there, mm-hmm. kind of. Ah. I thought it was hilarious. He, like, when he came out, he was like looking out at me like, some empty seats. And
did
then
he
like
point at you and say, "You're the one that said bad things about me on Twitter"?
Nope, gone. He couldn't
God
see me.
Damn right.
I was too far in the back. He couldn't see me. But
to
then
this
like
day, I still chuckle about that.
But then like 30 minutes into the show, like the guy who had like the front two seats showed up and he was just like, "Really?
I paid for these seats." Joke man. Just tell your jokes. That is why I couldn't be at a comedy show. I've heard people give terrible heckles at comedy shows. I am fairly confident
that
I am not
win,
one of those
that
people.
You'd win. You know what the problem with that, Damien, is though? You might win the war. You might win the battle, but you'll eventually get kicked out and lose the war.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I'm a terrible person and they'd have to throw me. Like, that is how that ends. That ends with security coming and go, "All right, you've had your fun."
Time for you to leave. So, okay, on to future movie talk. Right? The film festival has ended and I have some movies to talk about to you guys. I'm going to skip out all of the middle of this. Like, I don't need to tell you about the okay movies.
Right. Right? Tell us about the bangers.
Right. I'm going to start with what might be my favorite movie of the festival.
Right, so this one is definitely bad.
It is the newest film from Takashi Miike.
Damn it.
Okay. First Love.
What?
The name of the movie is called First Love.
Did you say Takashi Miike?
Yes.
And Love?
Yes.
In the same sentence?
Yes. The story of this movie is that there is a young boxer who is told that he has a tumor in his head and is going to die.
It's not a tumor.
And in the course of an evening, he meets up with a young girl who was sold off to the Yakuza by her father with debts, who is high off cocaine or some shit, and the two of them run off trying to escape the Yakuza, and it's a night of Yakuza's murdering things around them. There is an unkillable lady in this movie. There is a Yakuza boss with a samurai sword. There is this young girl high on cocaine who keeps seeing the image of her abusive father, who appears in a ghostly sheet over him in his underwear, just dancing around, scaring away this woman. This movie is fantastic. I love everything good about this movie.
You watched this movie at midnight, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Like, he just, in my head, as he was talking, I just saw one of the greatest thrillers of all time. This movie is sounding quite right.
Mm-hmm.
Takashi Miike is someone who
those
goes up and down.
At midnight tend to be fun.
Right? This movie is top tier Takashi Miike.
All right.
It's
pretty good.
I'm going to move on to the film that wins the award for It Put Me to Sleep, so I can't really talk too hard about it. And it's the latest film from Koreeda. Because he decided...
No.
I don't know if this movie is good or bad. I just slept because I was tired. He decides to leave Japan and he does this film in France with Juliette Binoche and Ethan Hawke. And it's about actors in France and shit. I don't know. I just fell asleep in it. I just thought I'd give it that duly noted award of the film in the festival that I fucking slept through.
What's the name of the movie?
The Truth. Did I not say the name? That was my bad.
No, you did not.
Cool. Continuing on with the good movies, I got around to watching The Lighthouse, which is so fucking good. The latest movie from Robert Eggers, the guy who did The Vivitch.
Yeah.
I
saw the trailer for that and it looks incredible.
Damien, Willem Dafoe plays a character that could have been in Pirates of the Caribbean. And this movie is 90% comedy, 95% horror, mad people going crazy in a lighthouse.
Yeah, you saw some of that in the trailer.
And Douglas will get this. there's lots of fart jokes. There's farting in this movie, and it is beautiful. I love everything about it. I can't wait to watch it again.
I'm above fart jokes. Is that what you said?
This movie has fart jokes.
He's saying you're below fart jokes. That's not fair enough.
I'm saying Douglas is more at the fart joke level than you.
That's his wheelhouse.
Yeah. Another one I'll mention, because you guys kind of talked about it earlier. Uncut Gems. That movie's fucking fantastic.
Oh, god damn it.
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler one.
Is the latest Safdie Brothers movie with Adam Sandler in it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Lakeith Stanfield is in it. Damon, yes. Kevin Garnett is in this movie.
I saw it in the trailer. Yes. Basketball player. Pretty tall. Pretty good.
There's okay. A reason why I pointed to Damien for that one.
What's crazy is he is playing like a 15-year-old version of himself in this movie. But he and Pharrell have been blessed with some kind of magical skin where you can't year tell. To year, you cannot tell which is which. It's crazy. When I see him and you see him back in like the basketball clothes and stuff, you're just like, oh shit. It's really been that long since Ghana played basketball. And he looks exactly the same. It's eerie when you see it. But I wanted you to tell me this movie is bad because I do not like the Sandman. I do not like him. Sandler sucks.
Oh, okay.
And it's funny to me because they make Adam Sandler to be the most annoying person in the world, which I think really isn't hard for him.
Yeah. You see it in the trailer. The trailer is real good. It's real good. And that is why I'm upset. Because I saw the trailer and was just like, he's doing it again. And then saw the directors and went, fuck.
So, my two awards of most disappointed film of the festival is a tie.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to Synchronic, which is a film from the people who gave us The Endless.
Okay. Sorry, what?
Okay.
This movie is about... Synchronic is the name of the film. It stars Anthony Mackie and... whoever the guy was in 50 Shades of Grey, I've forgotten his name already. And they're paramedics. And I thought it was going to be like the Scorsese paramedic movie with Nicolas Cage, but it's not. It's a really shitty science fiction movie that feels like... The movie was an hour and a half, and it feels like it could have been 30 minutes. And it would have been good. Like, they spend like an hour leading up to the good stuff. And then when you're in the good stuff, you're like, this could have been a really good TV episode. But you're already bored because it took forever to get there.
That's upsetting.
And the tied film for disappointment goes to Guns Akimbo, which is a New Zealand film starring Daniel Radcliffe. He wakes up one morning with dual-wielding pistols bolted to his hands. And he's forced to fight. He's forced to fight in a battle to the death with guns. And what the movie's awful.
What is it with Daniel Radcliffe
and lunacy
being in TIFF movies where he wakes up deformed? So I went to TIFF in 2013, I think it was, and he woke up from a stupor and had horns. Now in 2019. He goes to TIFF and wakes up from a stupor with guns. What is with this
kid? Do you remember how much money Lord of the Rings made?
Yes.
Do you remember how much money Harry Potter made?
Yes, I do.
Do you think any of those actors will ever be now? You don't have to. You're rich. It's the reason I haven't seen... Eastern Promises. What's his name?
Oh, David. No.
No, it's not David.
Oh, wait, you're talking about the actor?
Yeah.
Oh, Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo Mortensen, anything. Because he flat out said it. He's just like, I'm only coming in crazy shit. Like, I'm not. I don't need regular ass movies anymore. I'm in it He's in it for the love at this point. He doesn't give a fuck about. And so that's why we don't see him anymore, except in terrible movies like Green. What's the name of that movie? Green Book?
Where he's anti-racist.
Yeah, where he's driving Miss Daisy.
Yeah.
It's a terrible movie. Anyways. You say Guns Akimbo is terrible. Bad. Synchronic is terrible.
Terrible.
Damn it.
So I'm going to name two more, just because I don't really want to spend time talking about like all 20 plus films. And these are more down the Damien line of movies that are required viewing. I saw a film by the name of Bacurau, which is a Brazilian future Western.
Brazilian future Western.
God. And this movie is about a small town in Brazil that's very hard to get to. And the one of the leaders of the town has passed, so everyone's coming in for the funeral and all of the usual things are going on. This is a small town to the point at which you have a guy who is like walking around with a speaker just being like the town crier, like they don't watch TV and shit. And at the same time, there is a group of foreigners. We are just to call them pseudo-Americans. It includes the only actor I'll name is Udo Kier, which I know is German, but everyone else is kind of American or whatever. And they are there to just murder people. They're like, they're on sport vacation. And they come to attack the small town of Bacurau. And Bacurau retaliates. And it is beautiful. There are parts of this movie that aren't like really well polished, but the spirit of this movie is amazing, and I loved a lot of it. And this is 1000% Damon, I need you to watch this movie.
Andrew Robinson, I typed Brazilian future Western movie into Google, and Google returned back around a review from The Guardian. I'll watch this when possible.
Yes. There are a few other movies I can talk about. There's like The Sound of Metal, which is Riz Ahmed as a heavy metal drummer who loses his hearing and goes through a whole thing, and it's really sad and addiction related, which is a good movie, but would I say you guys need to watch this? No.
For half a second, I thought you were saying that the Rizzo was the Rizzo made.
There is So Long, My Son, this three-hour Chinese epic drama, which was fantastic, and I wanted to cry through this fucking movie. But is this a movie I'd talk to you guys about? No, because it has feelings.
Art.
There's Coming Home Again, another. It's directed by Wayne Wang, the guy who made Joy Luck Club, and it's a story about a son coming home to take care for his ailing mother, and it is brutal in just emotions. But do I want to talk to you guys about this sad movie? No. There is one movie, however, I have to tell Damien about. All right, to end this off, there is a movie by the name of Crazy World, which I feel gets the Kung Fu Hitler Award of TIFF, right? I've just written the name of whatever movie I was trying to think of to kind of align this with. But this movie I almost feel was I Wish You Were Here, Damien, because this was too perfect. So this movie's from Uganda, right? And the guy who made this movie, like, he has, like, other things on YouTube, but they're, like, super low budget. Like, if you watch what this movie is, like, you'd have probably guessed this is something that came out of Jamaica. And it's, like, overdubbed of bad movie making. But he basically made a 60-minute kung fu action movie about children being kidnapped in Uganda, which apparently is a thing going on in Uganda. And those children kung fuing their way out of being kidnapped. Now, in addition to the ridiculousness of this, he has characters by the name of Bruce Yu, of Commando, of Norris Chuck of just the most stupid ass fucking things, right? Okay. And he's being ridiculous. But also there was an added benefit to this film, which sadly you won't get, which is sort of like a cultural thing, right? So apparently, as I've been told, a lot of theaters in Uganda don't get subtitled films for Swahili in Uganda. So what they do is they have people come to the movies who know the languages, and they live comment the movie for the audience. They
basically live dub the movie. I've heard of this, yeah.
It's and not we just had
Uganda, a lot of African countries have this practice.
Yeah. We had a live commentator commenting this movie.
Oh, that's no, so throughout
this showing at midnight.
That's incredible.
Wow. And it was a joy. Right?
Oh, did he somebody was playing, take video?
He was playing that. Jokes with us. Like it was one of the few movie moments where talking at the movie was okay, right? Like, we like to make jokes that, like, Jamaica has a thing about it, and dependent on the movie, you're happy with it. Like, this was a experience where you are making jokes with the guy's making jokes back at you. His subtitling was questionable, but who cares?
Of course it was. Of course, right? Yeah. I have to tell you, I do... So, I've kind of said to myself, I don't know if I'd go back to TIFF. It's not... at least not for a proper TIFF, not for what I've done before, which is the 100 movie thing. But I do fucking love the midnight movies. I could see myself going there and being like, I'm not watching any movies, except I'll watch all the midnight movies.
So yeah, these movies, I don't think I'd call them good. These were Kollywood movies, because that's what they call it in the Ugandan. Kollywood is the name of the people that they're doing it. But... I had a time with this experience. This was the I Wish You Were Here, Damien experience showing. But yeah, there were other movies. Lots of them were weird and bad and just not as good for me to kind of go crazy about. I think I've named enough at this point.
Yeah.
I also saw the new Makoto Shinkai film. Not as good as Your Name.
That is.
Oh, are Your Name guy. Okay. So it's not good then? Because I don't recall Your Name being particularly strong.
Your Name was the one that we liked.
No. Your Name is the one that you guys liked.
Right. Your Name is the one that we liked.
Was the one that I thought was a regular movie. Your Name was
the one that we liked.
Put it this way, Douglas. The fantastical pieces of this movie goes even more anime. So if you didn't like Your Name, don't go here.
Oh, wait, hold on. I'm an idiot. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I'm thinking of, shit. What's the movie with Armie Hammer and Timothée Chalamet?
Call Me By Your Name?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of.
I just said anime.
I was waiting for it.
That's when I realized, when you said, this goes more anime. And I was like, how can you go? There's no anime. And I'm like,
oh, Douglas is. I thought that was, at first I was like, it's Douglas. And then I realized, I was like, I can't.
Yeah.
Douglas is on his own with this one.
Yes, yeah. I did like Your Name.
Movies. I saw movies. I saw lots of movies.
Yes.
I think we've all seen a lot of movies. And strangely, I've seen sports. I've been watching a lot of sports. Yes. Like a fuck ton of sports.
Uh-huh.
Strangely. And maybe it's just because it's been so long since we've spoken. I've also seen a fuck ton of just general stuff. Mm-hmm. Movies, media. And I want to talk about a few of them. So.
You find yourself not watching the same movies over and over because you have so much sports. And so when you go to watch movies now.
Funnily enough. So I now do have a driving force to watch new things. Mm-hmm. But I've also, for example, I've watched A Knight's Tale. I've watched About Time.
That's a sickness. That don't have anything. If you don't watch those, I'll know something is wrong.
I think I watched a bit of Chef at one stage. Nice. Like, you know, I've watched those staples.
You're a sick person.
I kind of consider this a new movie because I haven't watched it in a long time. I watched 21 Drum Street. But all of these things that you've watched 100 times, you watch it again. But let's talk about the new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you and I have talked. We've talked about the. Have we spoken on the podcast about the Bill Burr special? We have, right?
I think so.
Because weirdly,
we spoke to Andrew.
I'm sure we made jokes in the chat at least.
For some reason, this is. I know I haven't talked about what I'm about to talk about, but for some reason I have Bill Burr in as being watched after, which is strange. Okay. But anyway, so I watched a very odd movie, and I wonder if you've watched it. You probably haven't watched it, but I know it's something that both of us wanted to see. Have you watched Jim Jarmusch's latest movie, The Dead Don't Die?
Mm-mm, I'm afraid.
Douglas, tell me where you fall, because I don't like that movie.
You have every right to be afraid. Damien, and you know I am probably the biggest Jarmusch apologist amongst us all, right? Yes. I know I need to watch this movie again. But this is a genuinely odd fucking movie. And Andrew tried to tell us, right? It's very self-referential. So what Andrew described to us is not what this movie is. This movie is not this comedy that, you know, is almost Taika levels of, ooh, I know that I'm within this movie. It happens a couple times, but it's not that tone. The tone is still very much a Jarmusch.
It's a Jarmusch version of that tone.
Yeah, okay. Which is really weird. It's hard to kind of square both concepts together. Jarmusch while trying to be Taika, right? And that's kind of what he's done here. And I feel like it doesn't work, but I'm not sure.
I think to this day, my favorite joke in that movie is Steve Buscemi being so racist, he won't drink black coffee.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good.
He says something like, and Danny Glover is in this movie, mm-hmm. and he's there in that scene. And this is how you know he's a racist. Because the lady asks, you know, you're something like, is this how you want your coffee? And he's like, no, that's too black for me. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. But he immediately stops, has this, his face goes white, mm-hmm. has this look on his face, and he turns to Danny Glover and he's like, you know what I mean? I didn't mean it that way. And for you, if you think that saying, you know, the coffee's black or something like that is racist, it just means that that's on your mind. that's your frame of
reference.
You're
a kind of racist, that is. If you didn't turn around, I immediately laugh.
Like, that's the sort of thing that somebody says, and then you and I will say, that's racist as a joke.
Right. And we'll be like, that is true, man.
And then we wait to see how they respond. Right.
And they'll be like, either they're immediately like, I hate both of you. Or they're just like, no, that's not what I meant. Like, we can't talk to you anymore.
Oh, boy. That was good. I'm
still afraid.
I kind
of. There are a lot of jokes in that movie.
There are some jokes.
All right. Yeah, that sounds pretty funny.
I don't know. I want to watch it again. It is super weird.
I'm afraid to watch that movie.
Hard
again.
To swallow. What I am not disappointed that mm-hmm. I watched Booksmart. You guys know this movie?
I love that movie.
Andrew, this movie is fucking amazing. This is, and what I love about this movie, and it's a joke that I made in my mind before I watched it, which is why I almost didn't watch it, because I said it can't be good. This is, you know that Epstein, is it? I can't remember her last name. Is Jonah Hill's sister, right?
Yep.
So Jonah Hill's sister literally made a lady version of Jonah Hill's man movie, Superbad.
Okay.
So this is just Jonah Hill's sister version of Superbad. It's so good, Damon. It is just fucking hilarious. The lead actress, who I don't know her name, but she's in a bunch of things now.
So
is
side
fantastic.
Note. Side note. I realized this like months later, but that lead actress, she was in Justified.
Yeah, man. She was the McCready girl, Lorene.
That was Lorene. And it's weird to me whenever I see.
She's in a Netflix.
Yeah, she's on a Netflix show that I kind of want to watch. Yeah, I'm even though it looks. But you see, that's the thing about that show. She's in it, and she looks like she's great in it, which is why I'm thinking about watching it. But it's one of those movies or shows where you're like, that's based on a true story, isn't it? This is going nowhere fast, isn't it?
Mindhunters is kind of based on
that's another thing we need to talk about. But anyway. But yeah, Andrew, Booksmart and that girl, she's awesome.
All right.
She needs to be in more things.
Douglas.
Uh-huh.
Booksmart. The cocaine girl is the best.
You're talking about Sean or Ryan or whatever
I've forgotten whatever her character name is because I saw this forever ago. But the the rich friend's sister or friend or whatever she is.
Oh, yes. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. She's perfect.
Right? So amazing.
She shows up everywhere.
Yeah. You're like, you should be dead. And she just keeps popping up.
Damien,
I'm going to watch...
I'm going to buy this movie.
For the tour... Listen, I kind of wanted to see this.
Uh-huh.
Andrew liking it means nothing because he's a crazy person. Mm-hmm. Even though he's been more and more right these days, which is very troubling.
Quentin Tarantino's the best.
I mean, listen. I'm ignoring you. but for you to come out here, it's like, fucking yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Because the trailer looks like that, but trailers have lied to me before.
Yep. And I know we've talked about this before. This was actually a podcast movie, but I need to say this. Mm-hmm. I, after a very long time, probably the last time I watched this was around that podcast time, watched The Man from Nowhere. This movie is amazing.
I told you.
And I wrote a haiku for this film. It goes as such. Rock, break, scissors.
Mm-hmm.
Scissors cuts paper. Wallet covers knife.
Yeah. Wallet does cover knife.
That's too many syllables. You fucked up your haiku. Just let me know.
Douglas, try and imagine how many times I've watched that final fight scene.
Oh, so
good. I've watched it so much, I downloaded the song that plays during the fight scene. I used to listen to that while exercising. That is how much I've watched
So now to talk about bad movies, I watched, and this one is, I'm going from good to bad. So this one is actually, all right, it's fine, but it's nothing anybody should really watch. I watched a movie by the name of Ode to Joy. Have any of you ever heard of this movie?
I've been meaning to watch it. Isn't that the one by, what's your name? This is not the one by, what's your name? Never mind. No. I don't know this fucking movie.
I don't know who directed it, but Martin Freeman is in it, and it has a lot of smaller comedic actors that you'll see and say, oh, I know you from here, I know you from there. And it's all right. It's a movie that wants to be, say, A Knight's Tale, but isn't quite as good is a strong word, isn't quite as watchable as A Knight's Tale. Right.
So I thought this was a movie made by Kelly Reichardt.
Oh no.
Only for me to look it up to see that she has two movies. One is called Old Joy and the other is called Ode. So I thought it was a fucking Kelly Reichardt movie.
Exactly. Put those two things together. Yeah. Actually, me watching this movie, what makes me want to watch, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's the one I really should have compared it to, with Lowell and Domhnall Gleeson. That's really what this movie is trying to be, but isn't quite.
No.
Not from a story perspective, because it's this weird, I love the setup. I mean, Martin Freeman has a problem where he passes out whenever he's happy. And it's stupid.
I saw this and thought, oh my God, I'm blanking on his name. And he came in every... It was the British person in every 90s rom-com.
Are you talking about Hugh
Grant?
Hugh Grant, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, Hugh Grant would be perfect for this movie.
Would he though? He's never been...
from the trailer. I haven't seen the movie. So I saw the trailer and went, instead of Martin Freeman, you would be perfect for this.
Hugh Grant. Well, but Hugh Grant, you know what it is? Hugh Grant is more of like, yes, I'm a comedian, but when I look into your eyes and tell you how, you know, great you are, and that's me, right? This is not that kind of movie. He's not that lovable.
Fair enough.
It's fine if you want to watch it. Go right ahead. I didn't. It wasn't a waste of my time. You know, I'll say that much for it. But yeah, it's not one we talk right. about. No, for the really bad movies. I watched X-Men Part 500.
Oh, shit. I actually kept pretending I was going to watch this movie. Please stop talk me out of watching it.
Oh, you should watch this movie.
Why did you do
this? You need to see how bad this movie is.
No, I saw X-Men 3 The Last Stand. Oh, it's the last time I'll do that to myself.
Dark Phoenix is not a good movie at all. I'm very upset that Speedy Speedster is in it. And still, he didn't get a scene. He did not get a scene for me to like. And it's not that great. I'm upset again that Fassbottom still does not have his own goddamn movie. And probably won't, because Disney just bought Fox and knows they need to get rid of all of these people.
Yeah, they have to.
Also, I'm upset for the same reasons that Charles Xavier, Mr. James McAvoy, is also going to be gone, because
writing out their contracts.
He's fantastic. He is the shining light of any movie he's in, no matter how bad it is.
Here's how good James McAvoy is. I thought about watching It too.
Didn't see It number one.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about it, and only because he's in it.
And what's her name from Zero Dark 30?
Yeah, Bryce Dallas Howard.
I've inquired about that movie, if only for Bill Hader.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Bill Hader is in it. That didn't mean anything to me until last week.
Oh, have you been watching Barry?
I've been watching Barry.
I keep saying I need to go back to it. Yeah, I'll watch it. It's good, right? All right. God, fair enough. Damn it. Fair enough.
God. Oh, damn I can't it. Wait to hear this.
Yeah. So, all right. Anyway, let's continue, right? Because we don't really need to talk about how bad these things is. Yes. But I have two shows. I have some TV shows we need to talk about. Two shows that I'll talk about today, and two shows that I'm telling you we need to talk about soon.
Okay.
Right. One is Black Mirror. I finally finished that one, and I'm actually disappointed. First of all, the season isn't that great. Second of all, it's only 3 episodes? What the fuck? I thought, because I knew I had watched the first 2, and I was like, well, I'll leave the rest for later, and I figured I had like 4 or 5 episodes left. And I finished the last one, and the next one was Domhnall Gleeson. Yeah. And I saw the face, I'm like, he's in another one? Right. And I realized, no, this is the old one from whenever.
This is a good one.
This is this is so bad. I'm upset. I'm really upset. And the episode, so I don't like that the big thing that people were saying, why they didn't like the season. And by the way, they're right. This season isn't so special. But the reason they didn't like the season can go fuck itself, right? They're like, oh, it didn't have enough to say about technology and how it's going to ruin our lives. Come on. Or, you know, it didn't. No, actually, that's not right. It didn't have enough. It wasn't as relevant to our society or some shit like that. Now, listen, guys. I don't know about you. Well, clearly I do. Clearly I know now that you and I don't watch media for the same reasons. I watch television and movies to fucking enjoy myself.
What?
To be entertained. If that entertainment happens to be somehow socially relevant,
I am
sure.
Only here for social commentary. That's why I don't watch sports.
Yeah. That incenses me. Where, like, oh, this is such a bad thing. Come on.
I spoke to my sister about this. Mm-hmm. She was here for about 3 days.
Yeah.
And she tried to explain to me what it is like living there. Because we live here.
Yeah,
so we don't
true.
See it. Because no one here gives a shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, what you see on the internet is what happens outside. She's like, that's the best way to do it. She's like, listen, the things that we saw on the internet, I was like, what the fuck are these internet people talking about? It's like, yes, but then you go outside and it's real people saying those things. And that is when, she's like, that is why you see it all the time, because it doesn't just live on the internet over there. It is an ongoing thing, which is, that sounds nightmarish. And I don't want any part of this.
Nope. So I watched that. I also watched, and both of you guys need to watch this show,
mm-hmm.
Criminal UK.
Okay.
On Netflix.
There's Criminal France.
There's like five different fucking countries. It's
like
great.
Right, so how does this work? I thought it was just one show with like six episodes going from country to country.
No, there are three episodes in the UK version. I don't know how many there are in the others. I have already said to everybody on this podcast that I tend not to watch foreign-based television shows because I can sit down for an hour and a half and read subtitles, but ask me to do that for extended period of times, like 6 to 12 hours worth of television, and that gets a bit grating.
I'll take you and I'll raise you an anime.
I am... Well, you know me already. I've already made the decision that dubs, not subs. Mm-hmm. But...
Go fuck yourself.
So good. But I kind of dubs with real mouths, right? You can't do it with fake mouths because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Real mouths, you can't do that. But this show is so good, Damian.
Karate movies.
Okay, yeah, that's true. But again, you know, there's a similarity there.
That's basically anime.
There is... This show is so good.
Yeah.
I am seriously considering watching every one of those fucking TV shows.
Right. The 18 trillion of them.
Damien, I actually started watching the French one and noticed they're using the same set. So the same set that was in the UK one is used apparently by all of the other country version. Damien, I need to watch this show like again and again and again and again.
That's how confident they are. They're just
so confident.
They're just like, listen,
this is, you remember when I figured out what was going on and I sent like a barrage of messages in the group where I was like, I don't know what's happening, but this is what happens when you get too much goddamn money and nobody is there to tell you to stop.
Right.
And I said that as a bad thing. No, I take it back. Yes. This is a fucking good thing. This show is tremendous. So goddamn good. And you know what it is? It's not even so. It is a police show.
Yeah.
And clearly what they saw, right? They watched, which is another thing I need to talk about, Mindhunter. They saw how good Mindhunter was. And they're like, all right. So Mindhunter is, it's a show about police that go and do these interviews. But we kind of have all these other aspects to it. It's really more of a cop show, a general like people show.
Right. But with the central thing being us talking to these psychopaths.
Exactly. But they're like, hold on, what if we got rid of all of the noise
of this bullshit and talking.
We just sat down and had an interview. Had a fucking not negotiation. What the hell? Mm-hmm. Anyway, an interview.
Yeah.
Like the police.
Interrogation.
Just film that.
Yeah.
And see what happens. Damien.
You're doing it right.
What? And the talent behind it, of course. You know, you have David Tennant, you have all these people. Damien.
I saw it. It looked real good.
I finished all three episodes, all 3 hours of this show in like a half an hour. Or it felt that way. Mm-hmm. I was trying to find more. Like, where are the hidden episodes? Right? Andrew, have you watched the show yet?
I have not.
Because
you're still
in
the middle
person.
Of Mindhunter.
You need to watch the show. Anyway, please, guys, watch the show. No, there are two other shows that we need to talk about that I'm not really going to talk too much about today unless... Damien, because I'm sure Damien is up on both of these. But I think we need to pay these two shows the respect that it deserves. We need to have an episode about fucking Mindhunter. And I'm glad, Andrew, that you said you're watching Mindhunter, because that show is amazing. And this is how good the show is. This is the third time I've had to come on this episode, this podcast, and I have felt the urge, no, the I have felt that it is important for me to say, hey, I am guys. Still watching this show and it's still fucking fantastic. I finally finished this show maybe a week or so ago. Oh my God. We need to talk about the show, right? Now, Andrew, you're going to have to bone up on this real quick. And it doesn't take too long because it's about 6 episodes every season and the 5th season just finished. Damien, I know you would have watched all 6 of these recent episodes. Peaky fucking Blinders.
It's the best.
Oh, it's so good.
It's the best.
Woo. The last episode was last week.
Woo.
I am upset that there are no more episodes.
Oh, so upset.
I am, however, happy that they ended it in the way they ended it because it means they are guaranteeing me another season.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was afraid that they were just like, we're done, son.
Yeah, yeah, I was afraid of that too.
But nope. Cillian Murphy.
Oh, he's killing it. Cillian be killing it.
Can I spoil the person who shows up?
when and he mentioned him early out, you know, and I was like, oh, he's just fucking with the guy. Yeah.
No.
No. No.
Good Lord. Good Lord, Peaky Blinders.
Ooh. Oh, Peaky Blinders. And Damien, the way the show ends. Oh, I love the end. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew, how long is it going to take you to watch, what's this? So six, five.
Shit. 30
hours. Pretty sure a while.
30, yeah, about 30 hours worth 30 of television. Hours.
Divided by 8.
Turn this
shit into a work day. 8 into 30. So say 5 days of 8 hour. Or yeah, we can shorten that down. So you watch every day you go home, you watch one season.
Alright, here what we do, Andrew. Here what we
do. Next week we'll do
this. I'll time it, right? I'll just start watching it again. And when I'm finished the second time,
right,
then you should be finished, yeah, so we can watch it.
I like your plan. It's a better plan.
No, but seriously, Andrew, this TV show is to die for. Everybody in this TV show, you
love.
The
cast is tremendous.
It's tremendous. I think there's probably one person in particular that I love. And weirdly enough, so yes, I love Cillian Murphy. He's fantastic. He's not my favorite person on this television show, as much as he's a lead. My favorite person is his bigger brother, Arthur fucking Shelby. And Andrew.
Arthur Shelby is played by...
I know his name. Actually, so weirdly enough, I don't know why. You know what it is? It's because in season 4, he looked to be aging a little bit. And I decided, yeah, let me check and see what his age is. That guy, he's a young man, you know?
Yes.
I don't think he's 40-something. He's
born in 70.
Are we talking about Tom Hardy?
No.
Paul Anderson.
Not Paul Thomas Anderson.
Not Paul Thomas Anderson.
He's a guy that plays Arthur Shelby. Tom Hardy plays this Jewish guy called... can't remember, whatever. Jewish godfather, right?
So good. This is the best. Sounds like when we're drinking on the podcast.
So and he is great, but he shows up like, you know, once or twice every season.
Yes.
And
Alfie Solomon.
Alfie, thank you. Alfie Solomons, yes. I'm happy that I saw that you had to look that up. It wasn't because you
I was looking for the last name.
Oh, okay.
I know all of the characters.
Yeah. And Tom Hardy.
Every time I see Littlefinger.
Yes.
He's great.
I love his accent in this show.
Yes. All I do is see him and go, why is he more famous? Fucking Game of Thrones. Where he's in there for 3 goddamn seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, Lord.
This show, Andrew, I've hijacked the podcast because of how good this show is. This podcast needs to be the unnamed Peaky fucking Blinders. And by the way, it's not Peaky Blinders. It's Peaky fucking Blinders, right? Not even
what's
fucking.
What's that one? Toof?
What, Puff? Toof? What are you talking about? I'm confused.
You said it's the unnamed Peaky Fucky Blinders. Oh, I'm trying to pronounce it right.
Toof-a-duh. I don't know.
doesn't roll off the tongue as well.
No, it does not. It's not quite as Turkish as the Russian doll podcast. But we can figure it out. We'll get it right.
And of course, Preacher is coming to an end.
Yes, it is.
Preacher is fucking tremendous.
It. Thank you. Thank you. I was so upset when Andrew started talking rubbish about how it's not good.
I like Preacher now.
Oh, you do? Okay, fair enough.
The first couple episodes I felt was rushing, but I've been enjoying that shit now.
When you said that, at first I was just like, I wonder if they're making a mistake. And then I went to watch episodes. I don't know what. Pretty good.
I love God.
Yeah. Yes, God is good. God is great.
What we love, what we love is every single person. Every single person in this season of Preacher. Right? Don't bit part people like the angel that was hanging in the cell.
The angel is great. You know who I love? I love
everybody's tremendous.
New assistant. New top dog in the grill. He's great. Yes. And then his fucking the pivot that he makes.
Oh my god.
You find out who he apparently really is.
I also love, and I think we had said this before, watching the same character play Humperdoo
and Jesus.
Real Jesus. Yeah. You're just like, because when you only saw him as Humperdoo, you're just like, boy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see this exact same person, and you're just like, this show is...
Arsface
Sherman
is great. How they transition him.
When the Saint of Killers blows on the gun and shoots through the world, it's like, I don't need to watch anything more ever again. I'm done. Just roll credits. I don't care anymore. I've had enough.
That's they another one that I
they didn't put in the not enough gun thing that I was hoping for. Mm-hmm. When they set off the nuke, I was praying for that, but it didn't happen. But this Preacher is tremendous.
Yo, it's fantastic.
I'm so upset I'm not going to see any more Preacher.
I watch it the way it's intended because of sports and various other things. Mm-hmm. I fell off a cliff and I had about 5 episodes to just watch straight.
Yeah.
It's marvelous.
I think I stopped at episode 8 or 9 so that I can watch the final episodes together.
Yeah. I'm all caught up now, so I just have the one whenever that pops out this week.
I still haven't watched this weekend yet.
Oh, okay.
The last one I saw was when the new top dog gets got. At the end. So that's the last one that I saw. God, I love that show. It's so good. Boy. Peaky Blinders. But there's some real good TV.
Yeah, there is. There is.
Is it my turn?
I guess.
I heard you were watching some TV, Damien.
Yeah. All right. So I'm only going with bangers. And I'm not repeating any other things you guys talked about because we talked about them.
Yeah.
Barry for a season and a half. I haven't completed season 2. For a season and a half is fucking tremendous. The premise is so dumb that it shouldn't work. This show is like on paper. I don't know how he pitched it to them, because even with the first episode, you're just like, I don't know. But there's an acting class, and the acting teacher is tremendous, and the real linchpin of all of the comedy in the TV show is a mobster called Noah Hank.
Is he the bald one?
Yes. Yeah. He is. The first time you hear him speak, you're just like...
I only watched the first 2 or 3 episodes where he shows what he kind of could be, but you're not really into it yet.
Yeah.
But I've seen some trailers where he does some things oh boy, he looks spectacular.
He is tremendous. And the show works even though
if you stop and think about the show, you probably won't watch any more of it, which is why you should binge this show.
Mm-hmm.
Because watching it all together.
And that's what happened to me. Because I started watching it when it came out. Yeah. And so I'd watch it every week.
Yeah,
and
don't do that.
After the third episode, I was like, I mean, is this really that good?
Should if you just keep going, this? It is.
Yeah.
And it brings you along. And there, it, each episode leads directly into the next episode. And it is fantastic. And you really, at the end of the season, he does the thing that you're hoping for. Because you know he's a bad guy. But they're trying to say, you know, maybe this is not who he is or who he wants to be or whatever. But as the season ramps up, yeah, he's forced to make increasingly poorer and poorer decisions. And you see that he is, what he is a hitman. And they never allow you to forget that. And so everything else plays better because they're not shying away from what he actually is. And it's, I'm really, really impressed by that show. There is a TV show that is even more impressive than this one. That when I saw the trailer, me and my sister were making jokes because the accent work was awful. Netflix resurrected a British TV show called Top Boy.
Yo, I have to tell you, I haven't watched it yet. It's on my list because when Top Boy was actually airing like 10 years ago,
yeah,
I watched the first two seasons and I love them.
All right.
They're so, really good.
So then you will not be shocked at all.
No.
We didn't know this was a real thing.
Yeah, man. This is a good show.
And we watched it the wrong order. We watched
you watch a new one and then the old ones?
And
oh, okay.
We watched a new one. It was so good. We watched the old ones and then ending up watching the new season. So I've watched the new season twice and the old two seasons were.
Yeah.
This show.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Is.
Actually, it should is, watch. You
it
know
is
what?
Like a now level below talking, The Wire.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it is so good.
Now that you're talking, I need to watch the old ones first, because yes, on top of everything else,
you never remember.
I don't really remember a lot.
Yeah.
Well, is this the one, right, where in the second season it's a lot more children?
Yes.
Okay, that's yeah. All right.
Top Boy is man fucking tastic.
Yeah.
And we saw the trailer and it was a shitty accent work. And we were just like, boy, these Jamaican accents are bad. But as you watch the show, you realize that is on purpose.
Yes.
The people who aren't really Jamaicans have worse accents.
Yep.
Also, my favorite part is that the subtitling is...
Oh, they have subtitles for this?
Perfect!
Because they don't think you can listen, you can hear
it? Oh, they actually subtitle what is said. So you get to read. You get to read Jamaican. And it
Oh, this is just because you put on subtitles.
No, man, there's subtitles. No, they don't, right, they don't subtitle it. It's not hard coded.
Okay.
But if you turn on the subtitles, when the Jamaicans are talking, you get to see someone spend the time and listen to Jamaican language and then write it back out. And every single time I see it,
that's funny.
I smile. It is tremendous. I didn't know jack shit about
that. It's like, so just the other day, I wanted to tell somebody I was being feisty.
Uh-huh.
And I know where that word comes from. It comes from feisty.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually don't know how to write feisty.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it is things like that. Yeah. Where you see the words and you're like, I don't think. Because in your brain, you're like, that isn't English.
Yeah.
But you know what they're saying, but you've never seen it written out before. And you're just like, this is perfect. This is absolutely perfect. I was blown away by how good it is because I didn't know anything about it. Unfortunately, though, I have to apologize to Mr. Drake. Apparently, Drake loved the show so much that he
he had something to do with it. Right?
Bring this season back,
and.
I don't, me and Drake, we've not really seen eye to eye.
What,
I don't,
you're not in his fam?
I hate Drake, like a lot.
What?
And I don't want to be part of his fam. But I'd like to thank you, sir, for bringing back this TV show that I didn't hear about. And so I'm docking let's say all, you're back to zero. You were at negative, like quintillion, but look, dog, when you do good, I have to give you your props. And so thank you. You could have resurrected shitty TV shows like The Ranch, but you didn't. You said, let's give a good TV show a chance. And my final thing is a documentary.
All right, I'll just take off my headphones.
The reason I watch this is because back when I was getting into books, which is a sad statement to have to make, but it is true, I was given a list of the best 100. Time magazine had a list of best books.
By getting into books, you mean listening to book podcasts?
Basically. Oh, okay. It's the same information. Less painful.
without having to read.
I'm sorry. You read for what? For the fun of reading? I thought the story is what came here. My apologies. I didn't know. You know what you should listen to? The Lord of the Rings books.
Actually, you know,
they're really well produced.
You know what I do want to listen to? And specifically, I want to listen to it. I don't want to read it. Mm-hmm. Danny Baker and Gary Lineker have done a book for their podcast.
Yes.
And I know that they have also done an audiobook. I want to get an audiobook.
John Stewart had The History of the Universe or something. I think like that's the name.
Yeah, I remember that.
And the audiobook is fucking true. Because all of the correspondents are on it.
Hold on.
Yes.
That must not be the book that I'm thinking of. This isn't the one that he did and has all sorts of like activities in there and stickers and coloring and
I wouldn't
like
know. No. This one is just a straight history of the world.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah.
But all the correspondents that used to work on it and all of them have bits and it is spectacular.
Oh, wow.
Anyways.
Yeah.
I had read the / listened to Toni Morrison's Beloved. Now, all the information I had going in is that this is one of the best books of all time.
By the way, just on a side note.
Yes.
Did you ever think that Toni Morrison was Jamaican?
No, I didn't know what a Toni Morrison was.
Okay. So, I have a feeling this is just me and maybe even Andrew because of my family.
Right.
Until... Was it when she died recently? Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Right.
No. I did not assume.
Right.
I was told.
You knew.
I knew.
You knew she was Jamaican.
She was Jamaican. Because my father was like, Toni Morrison, the best Jamaican writer, whatever. It wasn't until recently, probably when she died and, you know, got notable again.
Did you immediately call your father?
And was like, hold on, no. She was married to a Jamaican. Oh. That's not the same thing.
Okay. Did you immediately call your father and go, that's some bullshit? You're full of shit.
I mean, to be fair, we try to claim everybody, right? I mean, so
when you're good. When you're bad, leave that shit on. So I had never seen a picture of Toni Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get audiobooks, you get the covers. I don't give a fuck about the back covers. I know that is important. I'm not in it to justify what other people think about these books. If the books are good, I like them. Most of the books are. Some of the books aren't. Catcher in the Rye is a fucking terrible book. I don't like it, but people fucking love that book. And that is fine. The Beloved is a book about slavery.
Oh, is that Denzel?
Yeah. pretty good. I never considered who wrote the book, Man or Woman. Like, none of that is important to me.
Yeah.
Because, like, I had come to these things so late that none of the outside information was important. I was only in it for whether the book was good or not. But as you say, recently, Toni Morrison passed, and they did a documentary, Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am. And I said, oh, I read her book. Let's see what this documentary is about. And
the documentary is about exactly what you think it is about. It is her, this book's effect on the writing world and how people saw slaves and black people and how she was treated and how women in writing were treated, how black people, like all of those things are in there. But what is surprising about this one is that that isn't the focus. All of this documentary is about just how fucking fantastic this book is, the rest of her work was, and how it inspired other people to do. And not often do I watch a documentary going in thinking it's going to be about one thing, because on the face of it, you're just like, I know what this is, but I kind of want to hear what. But they didn't do that. It wasn't just a Wikipedia sheet with people in front of a thing. Say, there's an actual arc to the documentary, and you get to see people work hard to try and explain how profound someone's effect could be on them. And I found that fascinating. The only other documentary I'd seen that gave me this type of feeling, there's an Aretha Franklin documentary with her singing
one,
live.
Yeah, where it's her in the church.
Right.
Yeah, the and one that she under no circumstances wanted to come out. Yeah. And then she died and they're like, oh, they're like, yeah, ready.
Right. And you watch it and you're just like, I don't know why she didn't want this to come out, because she's tremendous. It, like, those you've heard the songs, but you've never seen them. You've rarely seen them perform like this and heard her. Because when you're doing a studio album, you can't spend 11 minutes screaming hallelujah. That's, you just don't. No one's going to do that. But not in these performances. Like, she's killing it. Like, this is truly her element. I only saw her one way because I only listened to those albums. But you can see that where she shone brightest was in these performances. And you got to hear people talk about what her music did to them. And I much prefer documentaries that do that than it's just, this is the information. She's a great woman and people fought her. And so that's one movie that I saw that I really, a documentary that I saw that I really, really enjoyed. Everything else is just run-of-the-mill shit that come out every year and you watch a Spider-Man movie and like all of that shit. As it comes out, you watch it. I know that Hobbs and Shaw should soon be released. I'll watch that again because why not? Ad Astra is at Carib. The problem is tomorrow is Wednesday.
Douglas, Damien,
and I'm
Damien,
pretty sure Damien, it's going to be Damien, gone tomorrow.
Damien.
Yes.
Don't watch Ad Astra.
Why?
It's not good. Fuck off. I didn't talk about it for a reason.
So, I feel like people are getting fooled into thinking this is an action movie. It's very clear to me it's not an action movie.
It is not.
Yeah. And I think that's why a lot of people don't like this movie. Because they're going thinking, hey, Brad Pitt, pew, pew. But
the first trailer, I think as the trailers have come out, they've been showing more and more action. But that first trailer that I saw had no action in there.
And that's probably why I don't think there's any action. Because I don't watch trailers the way I used to. Mm-hmm. And I think I may have watched the first one and nothing else.
Yeah. I've seen, like, during football, there's commercials for
That's true.
And so I've seen what where it's like shooting out of a buggy and all, but that's not what that movie is.
Yeah, it's obviously not. However, Andrew's not everybody, and he don't like that movie.
Yeah,
and one thing I have heard about this movie, or I've read many people say, and I have a feeling one person said it, I know everybody just decided to say it, but something to the extent of Ad Astra is what Gravity or those other or 2001 would look like if Terrence Malick directed it. If Andrew doesn't like a Malickian movie, then boy, we'll have to think about that.
Andrew, how bad?
I feel there's a Damien cut in there.
Is it Is it at least tolerable?
I don't...
Jesus!
Like, Damien, you will leave that movie and you will feel you can edit something out of it, but I don't think you'll enjoy leaving that movie.
Oh my god. That doesn't sound... Well, I won't get to see for another 4 months anyway.
And you don't seem to realize, I was primed to love the new James Gray film.
I saw that trailer and really wanted it. But I guess... what are the chances it's at Carib after tomorrow? Like 0%?
I suppose. But if... It is at Carib. The thing that we have to think about is that it will be at Carib.
Yeah. I was going to go yesterday, but this boy, Jamaica, this rain is not.
Yeah.
Jamaica.
Actually, it rained fairly hard in the middle of the day, and I thought to myself, is Damien going to be able to make it on this side of the world?
Yeah, because my phone like collapsed, I was just like, listen, I have to go. Because I can't just ghost everybody for 2 days. That's not okay. And so even the rain and everything, it's like it's have to come up with some.
And there's a lot of everything going on.
There's a lot of rain and bus strikes and murders, apparently. Jamaica sometimes is not a real country. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to watch the news tonight to find out what the fuck is happening. Oh, one spot.
I want to tell you a story every man ought to know. If you want a little loving, you gotta start real slow. She's gonna love you tonight now. If you just treat her right now, oh, squeeze her real gentle. Gotta make her feel good. Tell her that you love her like you know you should. Cause if you don't treat her right, she won't love you tonight. If you practice my method just as hard as you can, you're gonna get a reputation as a love and a man, and you'll be glad every night that you treat